Make America great again. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you so much for being with us. It is Wednesday, November the 16th, moving along in the month of November. In a few minutes, E.J. Antony of the Heritage Foundation is going to be here, and we are going to talk about how to slay the inflation dragon that is terrorizing our country right now, and how the new Congress can drastically help the situation. So stay tuned for that. And Donald Trump announces he is running again for president, much to the surprise of nobody. But can he pull a comeback? Especially with Ron DeSantis waiting in the wings, huh? We're going to talk a lot about that, so stay tuned. And an apparent Russian missile lands in Poland and kills two people. That is scary stuff. Are we on the brink of a nuclear war with Putin? We are going to take a look at that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, this is a good one. I can't wait to see if I can guess the number one. But the top 10 worst cars ever made. I think Ed's had a couple of them. We're going to find out a little later. Anyway, there is a lot to talk about, and I did not see Donald Trump make his announcement yesterday, Ed, because I was with some friends watching two different sports events. Ooh. I was watching our beloved Lightning, and also my beloved Marquette Golden Eagles basketball team play Purdue. Mm. So I didn't see Trump. Did you watch it?
I did. I noticed that there were two parts to it. It came out, it was kind of subdued at first. It was kind of mellow talking. And then once he announced he was running again, it kind of went into a different gear.
He picked up his pace a little bit.
Because yeah. I noticed a big difference between the two. Mm-hmm. And it was nice just to stay on subject of what's wrong with the country and not saying, well, this person did that thing wrong and they did that thing wrong on the election or whatever, or no blame game was going on. It's just, you know, let's get out of this Biden era. Let's get America back to doing what we did. We did this, we did that, and get everything back. So it was a good speech.
Yeah, and like you said, he didn't go and say anything about the previous election, and he didn't go after anybody specifically. Which is a good thing, too. Maybe he's going to change his manners a little bit.
I did flip just to see what the other ones were doing, the MSNBC and CNN.
Oh, you did?
CNN was showing it. NBC kind of had it in a little window behind whoever was mocking what was going on. They didn't carry the speech live. They just showed the video of it going on. And then they mocked whoever the...
Well, was NBC doing another show?
MSNBC.
MSNBC.
Yeah.
Okay.
MSNBC was showing something. Whoever the person was on, I really don't care. But they were just showing the video in the corner of Donald Trump's speech going on.
Yeah. Now, this is what they had to say. that his speech was somewhat subdued compared to his traditional rallies, where he really goes off like a skyrocket.
Right.
He avoided intra-party sniping. He avoided denials of Biden's 2020 election victory. No reference to Ron DeSanctimonious. No mention of Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. Here's the thing. Why does Trump have to get into petty arguments with people in his own party? He just cannot control himself, and that is a flaw.
But the thing is, what he is saying is true.
It may be true.
McConnell's got to go, but he's got to learn.
I can say a lot of things that are true, but you don't have to tell
them. I know.
You know, I can tell somebody, you know, you're not very bright when it comes to such and such. I may be right, but you don't need to tell that.
The wrong time and place.
Well, he tends to belittle people.
Yeah.
And he doesn't need to do that.
Right.
Why is he calling Ron DeSantis Ron DeSanctimonious?
Yeah, I don't.
Tell me the good that comes out of that.
No, there's no name calling.
Name calling is
for sissies, as far as I'm concerned.
It's a weakness of his.
Yeah.
So this is why I think a lot of people, including obviously independents and a lot of Republicans, are turning away from Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, he's done, in my opinion, some terrific things as president. And when I hear people go off on Trump, first thing I want to ask them is, well, tell me exactly what he did or did not do as president in his executive capacity that you don't like. Watch him stumble.
Yeah. Well,
the only thing they'll say is, well, you know, it was that insurrection and he wanted everybody to rot. No, he didn't. I mean, that can be easily dismantled, right?
And also the morning thing, not the morning thing. What was I thinking of? The tweeting,
the
meme tweets, whatever. But when people were paying $5 for a gallon of gasoline, they were looking forward to some mean tweets instead.
Look, the good thing is that he would say it. He calls it like he sees it, and he calls out some of the press, who everybody knows have a bullseye on him and are trying to ask questions to make him look bad, and he calls them out for it. It's kind of fun, but it gets to me to be wearying.
I think it would be, if for this to work for him, I think what he did, I mean, if you get a chance to look at the speech online on YouTube or whatever, you can go, you're crafty. But
thank you.
If you look at the first part of the speech, if he could make some changes and run on that interpretation of Donald Trump, I think he'd have a better chance of uniting people. In other words, keep the other garbage behind the door and just focus in on the country. That's it.
Right. In the meantime, Governor Ron DeSantis, our governor here in Florida, received kind of a hero's welcome last night. He addressed about the same time that Trump was announcing he was going to run. Here's DeSantis addressing people in Orlando. And he got, a standing ovation. He won a landslide, 20-point victory over Charlie Crist last Tuesday, week ago Tuesday. So everybody was happy to see him there. He made a reference, but it was a very indirect reference, to possibly running for president. But he does not or did not address directly whether he would do so. But he's the guy. I think that's going to be everybody watching will be watching Ron DeSantis. Whether or not he decides he wants to become president, I think he is definitely thinking about it.
I don't know if that would really be a good idea. I mean, like, I think we discussed on Monday after the show was over that he'd probably have to announce his running within a year. And I don't think that would sit well with people that just voted him into office for 4 years in Florida.
Well, could he not wait for at least a year from now? That would be November of 2023.
Well, that's what I mean. He'd only be in office again for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd be only in office for another year if he were to run.
Well, that's true.
Because you have to give it up, don't you, once you announce you're running?
That's my, I believe you're right. I think he cannot be governor and run, but I'm not positive. We'll have to look that one up, because in some states, I believe you can continue to be what you are and mm-hmm. run for another position. I am not sure about the governor's position. I am not sure. As an example, Charlie Crist, our friend Charlie, gave up his congressional seat to run for governor. So that's why I'm thinking maybe, yes, he might have to give up his governorship to run for president, but I'm not sure. Anyway, we are going to take our break, and when we come back, E.J. Anthony of the Heritage Foundation fighting and trying to slay the inflation dragon.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back and delighted to be here on a Wednesday, and also delighted to have E.J. Anthony, who is a research fellow for regional economics at the Heritage Foundation and their Center for Data Analysis, and we're going to talk a little bit about the inflation dragon running amok here in not only here in the United States, but really around the world, and how we can deal with this, especially as far as Congress and the new Congress is concerned. EJ, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, our pleasure. I find this to be a most interesting topic. We have apparently, if they finally get in a few more of these seats, we're going to have a Republican-controlled Congress. And they're going to take a look in January, apparently, at what to do in some way, shape, or form with this inflation problem, which is just, you know, hanging around. And so I guess the question to you would be, what exactly do you think, because it doesn't look like the Senate is going to be in their hands. It's going to stay in the Democrats' hands. So what can the House, what can Republicans, or what can Congress in general do regarding the inflation problem?
Well, since all spending bills begin in the House, that's a really good place to start, because if we can stop the ridiculous, uncontrolled spending that's coming out of the House of Representatives, then that is really going to help put a damper on the total spending coming out of Washington, D.C. And we have to remember that spending, government spending, is the key driver behind inflation.
Indeed. Indeed. Now, two things come to mind as far as lots of spending going on. One is, we're going to hire about 80 or 90 IRS agents. Can the House just say, no, we're not going to fund it, and that'll stop that?
Well, they certainly can, but the problem is going to be getting a Democrat-controlled Senate who already supported that measure to sign off on that change, as well as a president who, again, already signed off on that measure.
Yeah,
you'll have
to
get him to support that change as well. So that seems very unlikely.
But the money itself to pay for this, I mean, it hasn't really been, has it already been drawn up? Is it already in the cards for the IRS agents?
Yes, it's already,
okay.
Right, it's already been allocated.
So that's already a done deal.
Correct, okay. Right. And it'd be very difficult at this point to undo it.
All right. And the other thing the student loan situation. Now, I know it's making its way through the courts, and there's a good chance that it's going to be found unconstitutional. But somebody's got to pay for taking away the debt from these students, which means do they not have to come up with some money for that?
Well, unfortunately, what the Biden administration has done by executive fiat is just assume all of this debt onto the backs of taxpayers, and that's a key reason why it is currently an injunction has already been put in place by one court. Another court has already ruled it unconstitutional, and the Biden administration is currently appealing both of those decisions. So we'll have to see how it eventually plays out, and if it does make its way to the Supreme Court. I do have my doubts, though, that the Biden administration is going to be able to push this one through, because you can't simply spend taxpayer dollars by executive fiat.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have done a commentary, I believe, in the Tribune News Services, called Slaying the Inflation Dragon, and you mentioned, the winning formula: spend less, drill more, and liberate capital. I think that makes great sense. The trick is to be able to do that, right?
That's exactly right. And, unfortunately, it doesn't really seem right now like we have the political will in Washington to make that happen. And I just want to emphasize that this really isn't even about political party so much as it is about policy, because a lot of the bad policies that we're seeing right now under the Biden administration were actually begun under the previous Republican administration. And even within the time of the Biden presidency, we have seen Republicans in Congress sign off, not all of them, but enough to get the legislation passed, sign off on over $1 trillion of excess government spending. So far from a strictly one-party problem, what we need is the American people writ large to exert enough political pressure on both parties to cut this spending and to get this inflation under control.
Do you think that the new Congress will have the will to do that? I mean, certainly they can see all of these problems. You would think that they would stand up and say, we're going to do whatever we can to slow this inflation dragon down. I mean, some people are saying that Republicans would have done better in the election had they been more forceful about what they were really going to do.
Well, I think one of the key problems in this last election is the fact that inflation affects different groups differently. Let me give you two examples. What about retirees? Retirees disproportionately vote Republican. They tend to be on fixed income. And if you're one of those people, you've lost about 14% of your purchasing power under Biden. That's almost three times as bad as the national average, the average worker. But that is a group that essentially, because they were already going to vote Republican, didn't really switch their votes from inflation. Conversely, what about young college graduates? They disproportionately vote Democrat. They're more likely to live at home with their parents, to be on their parents' health insurance. They've been insulated from some of the key drivers of inflation. That would be price increases for food, for shelter, for health insurance. It's also a demographic that disproportionately votes Democrat. So their minds weren't really changed either. So although inflation was the number one issue this go-around, I'm not sure it really actually changed many votes.
Yeah. We're talking with E.J. Anthony of the Heritage Foundation, where he is a research fellow for regional economics at their Center for Data Analysis. And we're trying to figure out what we can do about this inflation. So the way we're going, E.J., I mean, is there an end in sight to this inflation situation? Are we... is it something that will play out? Will the Federal Reserve continue to raise rates a little bit to try to stem it? What do you think?
I think the Federal Reserve is going to continue for the time being with the rate hikes. Unfortunately, they need to be doing it much faster, much harder. But we just don't have, going back to a topic we mentioned earlier, the Federal Reserve does not have the political will to really get this beast under control, to really drive a stake through the heart of the monster. And unfortunately, again, until the American people exert enough political pressure on Washington, D.C. to give these people the political will to make the hard decisions. I don't see those things happening.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's going to be business as usual, it sounds like. Even when Biden was asked the other day about how he was going to do things differently with the problems going on, he said, I'm not going to do it. Basically, he said, I'm not going to do anything differently. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. Well, doing what they're doing doesn't seem to be doing well. It sounds like we're just going to be roller coastering around for the next 2 years like this.
Well, it's not doing well for the American people, but it's certainly doing well for the elite ruling class in Washington, D.C.,
yes,
who are largely insulated from the effects of inflation. So as far as they are concerned, their lives are going just fine, and they have maintained enough political control to keep it that way. So as far as they see things, the outlook is very bright. Unfortunately, it's not so for the common man.
Yeah. And the other thing is, of course, the national debt. Everybody kind of forgets about that, but we're at $31+ trillion, more than we have ever been. It never goes down. Never goes down. I think it went down for a while under Clinton, but otherwise it's going straight up again. Republicans and Democrats are to blame for that. And we're just printing money. I mean, at some point, when we, you know, continue to print money with no backing, this is not helping our inflation situation either.
Well, not only is it not helping the inflation situation, it's exactly what's causing it. And under no circumstances whatsoever should the Republicans in Congress, both parties, but you know, the Democrats, we already know, want to raise the debt ceiling. Under no circumstance whatsoever should the Republicans in Congress agree to raise the debt ceiling. This needs to be the line in the sand. I don't care if we have a world war, they cannot raise the debt ceiling, period. Mm-hmm. End of discussion.
Yeah. What about opening up the spigots as far as energy is concerned? Do you see any chance that that the House will push perhaps Biden to get some religion when it comes to, I mean, we're looking at diesel fuel, if we even have enough of it, you know, around $5, $6, $7 now. I mean, there's where our food costs are being hiked. Do you think any religion here with opening the spigots?
You know, unfortunately, because the Republicans only have control of the House and nothing else in Washington, D.C., I think the best they're going to be able to do is have a lot of show votes, much like the House of Representatives did when Obama was president. And they continuously repealed Obamacare in the House, but to no ultimate avail, because it was never taken up by the Senate and could never be signed by the president.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, we have a president who continues to espouse this ridiculous notion of ending fossil fuels, the entire industry, within a decade. And then out of the other side of his mouth, he is demanding that those same industries produce more. I mean, the schizophrenic energy policy of this administration is astounding, and it is doing nothing to help the American people.
Well, this is kind of a sad scenario. It just sounds like we're going to have to keep drifting until maybe 2024, and we do a little house cleaning again. But in the meantime,
unfortunately, it took a Jimmy Carter to give us a Ronald Reagan, and maybe that's the kind of pain we need to go through to get the next morning in America.
I think you may be right about that. Well, we'll just have to hope, I guess. In the meantime, EJ, thank you so very much for coming on again. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. All right, EJ Antony from the Heritage Foundation. Let us take our break, and we got a lot to talk about. When we come back, among other things, an apparent Russian missile lands in Poland, kills two people. Are we on the brink of a war again with Putin? We're going to talk about that.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hello, Kelleher, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Do you have questions about navigating the confusing world of health insurance? Then just ask Angela. That's right, just ask Angela. Every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Angela will discuss topics such as individual, family, and group health insurance plans, life insurance, original Medicare, supplemental plans, and much, much more. Just ask Angela every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. and visit her website, justaskangela.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back again here on Freedom Works. I am Paul Malloy along with Big Ed Davis. Thank you so very much for being with us. You know, Ed, I'm looking at the House tally here. We have been sitting on 217 seats in the House. Now, did you know that there are 435 seats in the House?
Mm-hmm.
So that means we are one seat short. The Republicans are one seat short of getting the majority. Why are we sitting, just coincidentally, at 217 Republican
Why
seats?
Why are places like Arizona still counting votes?
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
This is 8 days so after what
is
the
there,
election.
Is there 452 million people in Arizona, and that's why it's taking so long? What is the problem?
This is reinforcing my argument that we need to go right back to the precinct voting. And,
oh, another close race.
Yeah.
We got a special caller on the line.
We do.
Can you figure? Take a guess.
Just let me think for a moment. Would it be President Trump?
Close.
Oh, let's see. Would it be his wife?
No.
Would it be Andrew?
You got it, buddy.
Andrew, the master barber. Holy Toledo. You know, I thought you might call in, Andrew, especially after the Trump announcement. How are you?
Let me tell you, I'm doing fantastic, buddy. And let me tell you what. I had to listen this morning, and I heard you guys play the right song opening. That was fantastic.
Wasn't that a good... Go ahead.
Did you watch Trump last night, buddy? Let me tell you something. That guy was so focused. He showed you what he's made of. You know what I thought of right away? You know, everybody ran, ran, ran. Now, you know I love Ron. Don't get me wrong.
I know you do.
And Trump, you know, he said a couple of things. You know why he did that? I'm going to tell you why he did that. He shot a couple of shots over the bow of his boat, buddy. Those were warning shots. And I'll tell you what.
Over the bow
the GOP of Ron's boat.
Of Ron's boat. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You know, you got Mitch McConnell, you got these Republican GOPs trying to funnel money into Ron DeSantis to run against Trump to try and get rid of MAGA, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? These GOP rhinos have got to go. If Ron falls for this, he would be nothing but their stooge, believe me. And Ron is no way going to fall for it.
Mm-hmm.
Last night after I saw Trump, I could only think of one thing, buddy.
What's that?
The movie The Lion King.
Oh, I remember
Trump that. Trump is the king, buddy, and Ron is Simba.
The love affair is back.
I was just going to say, Andrew, are you putting that life-size poster of Donald Trump back up there in your barbershop? I'm sure you are.
It was up, Paul. You know, him and I, we had a little lover's quarrel.
Yeah, a little tiff.
No big deal.
But let me tell you something.
Last night, you saw what this man is made of. There was no wisecracks. There was nothing. He was dead focused, and he said, well, just like it was what's happening.
You know, if he was like...
We need him.
Yeah, and I agree with you, and we talked about that. He did. He stayed on message. He didn't insult anybody. He talked about what he wanted to do to make America great again. And if he could just stay like that, you know, if he could just hold in that urge to insult people that say something bad about him. Go ahead.
You know, Paul... Let me tell you something. I know he won that last election. You can see what's going on with this election now with Arizona. It's the same old crap. These elections are rigged. Number one, I think Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump need to go to Georgia and push for Herschel Walker and get him in there. These guys, you know, and Trump fired a couple shots. That's all he did. And I tell you what, he did the right thing.
You know, as far as I'm concerned with the election of 2020, it's in the past. There's nothing we can do. There is nothing.
Exactly.
The only thing we can do is prevent it from happening again.
But we didn't.
The perfect model is once again in Arizona, where another tight race is what takes a week to count votes.
They've screwed the whole thing up. Now, the guy that runs the election commissioner of Maricopa County in Arizona, that's where it's all having a problem, is a Republican. He's a Republican. And he comes on and he says, you know, we're doing this the best we can. And of course they're screwing up. I mean, I do agree with, I think everybody in the back of their mind is worried that we are not getting an accurate count in this country anymore. This is the worst thing. This is why, Andrew, I think we got to go back to day of election voting and do
agreed.
It.
Agreed. And like Trump said last night, and he said paper ballots too.
Yeah.
He said bring it back. And you know what? He's right.
I agree.
He's right 100%. And let me tell you something. These people that are saying, oh, Trump can't win, Trump can't win. You know, you people are being persuaded by the media and everything else. Trump won the last election. The proof he won was in this past election, what they're trying to do, okay? And Trump will win again, but we need to stop what's going on because you know what? Jesus could run, and he won't win with the way they're voting.
What you saw last night, would you agree that there were two versions of Trump last night? Before he announced the actual announcement, and then afterwards, was it a little subdued at first? And he's like, well, what's going on? He's a little laid back right now, and then all of a sudden it got cranked up as soon as he said, I'm announcing my candidacy. What I want to see is more of the first guy.
Let me tell you, if Trump stays on track like he was last night, he will be unstoppable.
Well, I
heard.
Well, let me ask you this, Andrew, the master barber. Do you think he should have waited until the runoff election with Herschel Walker and Warnock Georgia?
No. Nope. I think him and Ron should both go there and promote Herschel Walker. They'll pull him right through this thing. The two of them need to do it. Okay? And people are letting Ron DeSantis snowball effect. We don't want that to happen.
Well,
because let me tell you, if Ron falls for the GOP people, they're going to ruin him. Mm-hmm. We need to get rid of the GOP party the way it is. The rhinos have got to go. Mitch McConnell, what's his name that's going for the Speaker of the House?
You don't like the guy that's running for the Speaker of the House? I know.
No, he's nothing but a rhino either. He's got to go. McConnell's got to go. Okay, what's his name?
What do you think about Rick Scott taking over for McConnell?
I think that would be great because McConnell's nothing but a puppet. He needs to go.
Okay.
Period.
Yeah.
Look, these guys are on verge of freaking war. Look at this. Trump, there was no problem with war, making peace with everybody. And look at these morons now. They're talking about what they got to do militarily to Russia because the Ukrainians hit a rocket coming in and the scraps fell and blew up.
Yeah, we were just going to talk a little bit about that. What do you think? The Polish president says there's no proof that it was intentional.
That's right. That's right. You know, Paul, like Trump said, if he was president, this war wouldn't have even been going on. They funneled $110 billion through Ukraine that came back to the Democrat Party, a bunch of that, to push their candidates in this election. Money was laundered.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you about the Ukraine situation. I honestly do agree with you. I don't think we would have had a Ukraine war. Trump in.
No way.
Trump was able to schmooze people. He was able to go over there and glad hand them, slap them on the back, say nice things about them. It worked for him, I mean Putin, and also worked for that guy in North Korea.
He mentioned him last night, too.
You know, they were firing missiles over Japan when Trump was in.
That's right.
He brought up, when I was in office...
None of that happened.
I had a good working relationship with him, and the biggest part is no missiles were being fired.
I'll tell you what, Andrew, if Trump can somehow contain his urge to insult. I think, and people see that he has contained it. I think he's got a real shot. But if he starts,
well, like
if
I
he
said,
starts going after
if
people,
like,
if he starts going after people, I'm telling you.
Well, if he goes after the right people, if he goes after the right people, go after McConnell, bring him out for what he is.
Yeah, but let the voters vote them out.
Exactly. We don't need to hear Trump's insults. We don't need to hear him insult people. I don't care what they say about him. That's,
as long as he stays like he was last night, he will be unstoppable.
Yes, if he stays that way, I think you're right. I think he can win.
And you know what?
But he's got to do that. Yeah. Someone's got to put a muzzle on him.
Trump learns, believe me. The guy's not stupid. I don't think he's going to repeat the same mistakes.
Well, he hasn't learned.
You know what I'm saying?
He hasn't
But look at the Republican Party hasn't learned nothing because they're still letting the Democrats win their elections the way they are by cheating.
Yeah.
And none of them have the backbone to stand up.
Yeah, I think each of these state legislatures control how their citizens vote. We've got to get these state legislatures, and most of them are Republican legislatures. We've got them to realize that the COVID pandemic is not affecting people turning out to vote. So get those mail-in ballots out of existence. Let's go back to the precincts. I like mail-in voting in Florida, but frankly, I worry about even that.
Well, you know, we don't mail them out randomly to people like they did in Pennsylvania. They ran to anybody, occupant address. Here's your voter card.
But still, when it goes through three or four, pair of hands before it gets to the person who's counting it, I worry a little bit. That's all.
Yes. Of course. I don't trust the post office. They got how many times they've been caught.
Yeah, well, caught or just making a mistake. Exactly. And then ballot harvesting. That has absolutely got to go. Sanctions ballot harvesting doesn't have,
illegal. It should be illegal.
It should be illegal in every state. Absolutely. You have no right to do that.
No question.
And having an ID to vote is a no-brainer.
Having an ID when you go into the poll, absolutely. What is wrong with us?
Tell me you're being discriminating, people. You know, come on.
We're able to do all of these. We can almost go to Mars now, and we can't figure out how to vote legitimately?
Guess what? If you're driving a car and you don't have a license, you go to jail.
That's right. No question. Or registration. They tow your car away.
Yeah, there you go. Of course, now that
One thing, guys.
What?
Bobby's song that you played there is, I'm going to get that thing to Trump if it's the last thing I do, because that needs to be his song. Now is the time.
Before we started the
now
show.
Now is the time.
It's a great song. Before we started the show, Ed and I were going, now, what should we play for an intro? And Ed came up with Bobby's song. He said, let's play Bobby's song. I said, great. This is exactly
right. I got an idea. How about I play that Thursday morning to open the show?
Yeah, that'll be good.
I'd pay you to do it. I'll pay you to do it.
Go ahead.
$100 $100,
hey,
Ed. $100.
They're writing it down right now. Ed said, play that.
Why don't you use it to open and close the show? That would be very nice of you.
I'm still waiting on the. I'm still waiting on the 29 women that are going to come forward and prosecute Trump. I'm still waiting.
Ed, is this a bulletproof window that we have between you and the studio where they will be sitting?
All right, now
that's funny.
I've got to get back to work. And Ed, you need to close the show with the Lion King song, buddy.
There you go. Maybe we'll look for that. Hey, thanks for calling, Andrew. I hope you'll call it again.
Right, buddy.
All right,
buddy. All right, be good. Bye bye. Yeah.
Bye-bye. Well, good to hear from him. I kind of thought he might call in after
I'm glad
the Trump
to see
speech.
The love affair is back.
The love affair
he
is
was,
back.
He had an he had a time when he was down there, you know?
He was
a little down.
He was upset. Well, he was upset because in the 13th Congressional District, Kevin Hassler was not being endorsed by Trump. He endorsed Anna Paulina Luna, who obviously she won.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he finally has gotten over that.
Yeah.
That's good. All right. Let us take our final break. And when we come back, among other things, we're going to tell you the top 10 worst cars ever made. 9 a.m.
And I'm going to be high as a kite by then. Thank you.
I miss the earth.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works on a Wednesday, and thank you so very much for listening in to us. It is much appreciated. However, there are things you might be doing where you can't listen live all the time, and thanks to Big Ed, all of our shows are on tape, on podcast. All you have to do is go to ourfreedomworks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button at the top. It's got all our shows from the most recent show at the top all the way down. You'll see who the guest is and what our top 10 is. You can play it at your leisure. You can pause it. You can play it when you're trying to go to sleep. It's a great sleep tonic. You can play it to wake up, for goodness sake. OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, we were talking yet about the changing leadership for the Republicans, and now Rick Scott says he wants to replace Mitch McConnell as the top Republican in the Senate. I think that's a long shot. McConnell's probably got the votes. Scott is the chairman of the National Republican Senatorial Committee, and he's been at odds with McConnell over political strategy. I think there's a lot of people that are starting to think that, you know, like a lot of these leaders in Congress, they're getting along in the tooth, and that includes McConnell. And in the meantime, Ted Cruz is also urging McConnell to delay the GOP leadership elections until after this runoff with Herschel Walker in Georgia, and see where that ends up. So we'll see about that as well. All right. Now, this whole thing with cryptocurrency is coming to a crashing halt. The collapse of the exchange FTX. It's a cryptocurrency exchange. Amid reports, at least $1 billion, that's with a B, $1 billion in client funds have absolutely gone up in smoke, disappeared. Now, that impacts potentially around 1 million people. And is this guy on the run? I think this guy is probably trying to evade capture at this point. His name is Sam Bankman-Fried. He faces allegations he secretly transferred $10 billion, with a B, from his company to a company called Alameda Research. It's his hedge fund. I mean, can he do that?
He was also a major, major, major donor to the Democratic Party.
He was. He's now filed for bankruptcy. So what's he going to do? What happens to the payoffs for these people? He's facing a criminal probe in the Bahamas. Apparently, if he's in the Bahamas, they better watch out. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He'll hop on a ship and go somewhere else.
Sure.
That's very scary. Very, very scary. Also, I wanted to talk about this Title 42. You know, that's been used to expel migrants. Trump used it while he was president. Well, a federal judge yesterday has issued an order barring Title 42. And this is U.S. District Judge Emmett Sullivan. He says the Title 42 policy, quote, is arbitrary and capricious, unquote. And it violates what they call the Administrative Procedure Act. I know that they're that the Republicans will want to continue to contest this decision. Now, the Trump's administration used it, Title 42, and they were able to expel over 185,000 migrants in 2020. Now, the Biden administration, if this is correct, expelled, guess, listen to this, 937,000 migrants in 2021. And in 2022, 983,000 using Title 42. But yet, haven't we had like a couple of million people come through so far this year and gotten in?
At least.
So I don't know what all of this really means. Nobody really knows these numbers to begin with. But at least it was a way of stopping. Now, they had Mayorkas up before that committee yesterday, and they were slapping, the Republicans were slapping him around. One of them said, you know, why aren't you resigning? They had a fall guy resign. Nobody knows.
Right, the guy that...
he fell asleep during a couple of meetings. So they're getting rid of him. Mayorkas, who continues to say, we're working to make things better. No, you're not. You're not doing a damn thing. Mm. You're not doing a damn thing to make things better. I can't believe the Biden administration tolerates that guy. I just can't believe it.
I can't tolerate him. I can't stand to watch him.
I know.
You can tell he's inept.
He needs a lemon cream pie in the face right while he's talking. That's what he needs. And I'm willing to throw it. All right. Before we go to our top 10, Ed, I want to ask you about... Now, I was watching some... You know, we got all kinds of sports going on now. We have hockey and football, and now college basketball's running. So there's a lot to do. And apparently... Our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning won in overtime. I don't know if you watched any of the game. Very exciting game that they played with the Dallas Stars.
I tried to watch a little bit, but I was
back in... Well, you had other things.
Well, yeah.
I know. So they're looking pretty good. They've won like 7 of their last 11.
I think they're second place now, right?
They're close. I think they were in third, but Boston is doing very well.
Yeah.
Boston's way ahead of everybody right now in that division. Are there any thoughts about anything in the world of football, or is there anything going on with
the big thing with Brady's wife, Tom Brady's
the
wife,
quarterback of
that
the
came
Buccaneers.
Out yesterday or the other day?
Tell us, what is the big thing about her?
Well, she's been in the Cancun or somewhere with one of her trainers that's a male. And evidently there's been something going on for quite a while.
Oh.
So.
Even while they were married?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I really didn't.
Yeah, well.
Do you think that Tom
That's
knew?
Their dirty laundry, but, you know, somebody's got to expose it. So, I'm just glad that it's over with and he can move on. Listen, the guy's not going to have any problem in that department when it comes to.
You'll have all the women he can.
Yeah, money, women. He's got a great family, got great kids.
Yeah, he does. That's kind of sad for them, though, to see that split.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the way things go. It looks like the Bucs have been playing a little bit better. If I recall,
Germany,
they played an early Sunday game. Were they overseas somewhere?
That was Germany, Germany game.
I see.
That was 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah. And they won the game.
I had friends that actually went there. They said they had a blast.
Did they go specifically to see the game?
Of course,
Wow. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Time for our top 10, Ed. Now, this comes from Facty, F-A-C-T-Y, Facty.com. They have compiled the top 10 worst cards ever made. I want to see if you'll know what's number one. So please pay attention while you're doing the drum roll, all right?
You got it.
All right, here we go. Number 10. The great 2018 Mercedes-Benz Benz X-Class. If the term luxury pickup doesn't fill you with much confidence, you're not alone. Launched in 2018 as the world's first truly premium pickup, it immediately flopped. Pretentious design, poor performance, tone-deaf marketing.
Mercedes-Benz had a pickup truck?
Yeah.
Good Lord. That just doesn't go together.
No, that doesn't. Number 9.
It's like Ferrari with a tailgate on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Number nine is the Alfa Romeo 1977 Alfa Sud. It was projected to be another amazing addition to Alfa Romeo as a subcompact. It was touted as faster and better handling than any other car in its class. They had all kinds of pre-orders. But it fell apart. It wasn't very good. The crews stopped production on it. It was a real mess. All right, there you go. Number eight. The 1974 Ford Mustang. It was actually the Ford Mustang II, or Roman numeral II. Have you ever heard of that one?
Yeah.
Normally, you think of the Mustangs as doing, you know, good cars. Mm-hmm. A great seller at the time. The 74 stood out for completely missing the mark in every category that made it famous. It was unattractive. It lacked any power. And it resulted in many people calling it a rebadged Pinto. Well, that's not a good...
No.
Okay. Number seven. The Trabant. T-R-A-B-A-N-T. 1958 Trabant. I don't even know what it is. What do you get when you cross a demoralized workforce, incompetently run factories, and a communist state? You get this car. And it's an East German car. It was made out, listen to this, it was made out of compressed cardboard covered in a plastic raisin.
Nice.
Boy, I'd love to get into an accident at about 75 miles an hour from that thing. Number six. The Yugo.
The Yugo.
Remember the Yugo? Generally known as the worst car ever produced, imported, this is the 1980 Yugo, imported into the U.S. from Yugoslavia. It was just a lousy car.
It was just deemed affordable.
It was poor. It broke down. So often people would joke that the rear window warmer was for your hands when you inevitably had to push it. Number five. I got to move along here. The Peel Trident, 1966. It's a three-wheeler. That's all you got to know. It was a three-wheeled car. One wheel in the front, two wheels in the back.
Good God.
Makes me think of a Good Humor truck or something. Number four. You remember the DeLorean?
The DeLorean, yeah, of course. Made a movie after it.
They did. The 1981 DeLorean, although it became world famous after the movie, it's actually the poster child of motoring disasters. It was supposed to be assembled in Puerto Rico. They moved it to Ireland, and everything went screwy. So there you go. Number three. The AMC Pacer, 1978.
Boy, that was an ugly car.
It was.
Oh, God.
It was one of those ugly little cars that went driving around. It's kind of a boxy looking.
It was round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. All right, Ed.
Is that number
Oh, wait.
Two.
Number two, real quick. The Reliant Robin, 1974. Three-wheeled car again. All right. We're running out of time. What do you think is the worst car ever made?
I think it has to be the Ford Pinto.
Bingo.
Right?
You're right. The 1971 in particular, don't get hit from behind, the whole car might go up in flames.
They had a problem with the gas tank. I remember that.
They did. Ford knew about it, too. But they thought that they could get away with selling enough cars. No, they couldn't.
You could stomp on the gas.
It cost them their reputation.
3 days later, you'd get up to 55.
Yeah, I think Lola had a 71 Pinto.
They were horrible.
Yeah. All right, thanks so much for being with us. We will be back on Friday. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.
America, how long can we last?
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. NATO says it appears a missile strike that hit a Polish border town yesterday, killing two people, was not an intentional act by Russia. Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg this morning.
We have no indication that this was the result of a deliberate attack.
CBS's Cammie McCormick says the Pentagon is hosting a virtual meeting of the Ukraine Contact Group that provides military support to the country.
Russia is facing setback after setback on the battlefield.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said the U.S. would continue to work with Poland on its investigation of a missile strike within its borders, believed to be from Ukrainian air defenses. But in the meantime, U.S. NASAM air defenses are in operation in Ukraine.
And they have had a 100% success rate in interrupting Russian missiles as the Kremlin continues its ruthless bombardment of Ukraine, including yesterday's attacks.
Those Russian attacks targeted Ukraine's energy infrastructure once again.
The University of Virginia has canceled Saturday's home football game after three players were shot and killed. A former player is accused of opening fire on a bus Sunday. He was scheduled to be arraigned this morning. Another student, Mike Hollins, was wounded. His mother, Brenda Hollins.
Sunday was one of the worst days of my life.
The government says retail sales rose 1.3% in October from September. A change of heart by a major religious denomination.
The Church of Jesus Christ.